In today's Gospel, we are first given the primary tenet of prayer, and his mother kept all these things in her heart, and so we too are called, if we are to live a prayerful life, to keep all these things in our hearts, all these things, that is, all those things especially related to that mystery we celebrate today. For the mystery of the Feast of the Holy Family first began in the life of the Church, that is, in its liturgy, as a feast celebrated outside of Christmas, but eventually it was brought in by the Vicar of Christ to coincide exactly with the Christmas mystery, because the Christmas mystery is a mystery rooted not only in Christ and Mary, but in Saint Joseph, that is, in the Holy Family. And so, if we are to understand the roots of this devotion, we are to return to that Christmas mystery when we see first and foremost devotion to the Holy Family spread to the shepherds and to the Magi, and it is to them that we turn to justify this devotion to the Holy Family. For indeed, if we are not devoted to this most sacred of all families, then we truly cannot even refer to ourselves as Christians, as the shepherds and the Magi so understood, because it is from this family that we receive the Savior of the world, the Christ who came into our lives. And if we are to try to pinpoint what is known as the systematic devotion to the Holy Family, that is, its incorporation into the liturgy and the Church's call for Christian families to more earnestly strive to be devoted, that is, to imitate each and every member of the Holy Family, we need only return to that medieval period that was both the greatest in Christendom and perhaps, in one sense, the worst. For it was the greatest because the love of Christ and of the Holy Family had spread throughout the known world. And yet, it was also a time of trial and tribulation, for at the same time, those tenets would be set in place that would ultimately bring about the complete assault on the Holy Family. But this was to be expected, as the Lord himself would instruct us in his public ministry. What they have done to me, they will do to you. And what is it that was first done to the Christ child, if not the assault of the Holy Family? In seeking to kill the Christ child, did not Herod seek to destroy that concord of love between Joseph, Mary, and Jesus? He most certainly did. And so we see that at all times in history, especially after the advent of this Holy Family, the devil's assault will be on family and family life, authentic family life. And so, what was it that brought about this call from the Vicar of Christ for the members of the body to be completely devoted to the Holy Family as its protection against the assaults of the medieval world and the modern world and the world to the end of time? It was both an external and an internal strife that came about. The external strife primarily consisted of plagues, devastating famines, wars, and economic troubles, as well as many social upheavals. That is, an attempt by some to try to reconcile the pagan lifestyle with the Christian lifestyle, or more commonly known as the Renaissance, not in its Christian form, but in its pseudo-pagan form, in which members of the mystical body would try to compromise between the two ways of life, those ways that are completely antithetical to each other. And these external forces work to threaten not merely the welfare of the family, but its very survival, because the external strain caused by Satan on the family brought about a crisis of affections within the family, and most especially that crisis in which the headship of the father is always questioned, and that is quite precisely what our modern feminist society is. It is to call into question the divine hierarchy of the very family, and to assail the family as God has constituted it. And so, during this call from the Church for Christian families to again reclaim those affections of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, that Saint Joseph would begin to take a more prominent role in the life of the mystical body, and that is precisely the call, and indeed, we see at Fatima that the Mother of God herself seals that call. It is as if she is saying, give to Joseph in your lives the place he had in the lives of me and my child Jesus, and the church and the family will truly be protected. Why? Because Joseph was that wise and assiduous man, that diligent head of the Holy Family who warded off the social, political, and economic evils arrayed against the Holy Family. And so, the head of every Christian family was called to imitate him who rescued the Christ child and the Virgin Mary from murderous Herod and supported them in Egypt by practicing the carpenter's trade and who also protected them on their perilous journeys. And indeed, is not each and every family on a perilous journey in this life? Is not Satan waiting and at all opportunities to bring down the family, to destroy what many theologians called, beginning with that great theologian, Jason, the earthly trinity, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? He is always and everywhere seeking to assail that family, and indeed, that was all that he ever sought to do. From the very moment it was revealed to him that the Son of God, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity would become man, then he began his assault on the human family, sowing the seeds of discord to our first parents, Adam and Eve, bringing about their fall, but it was not him who caused their fall. It was their cooperation with him in that anti-family mentality that brought down their fall. They truly cooperated as our modern world is cooperating in this modern assault on the family. And so, if we are to understand this mystery, then we are to ponder that each and every member of the Holy Family is a model and exemplifies the particular virtues that each member of the family must exercise. Saint Joseph manifests to us that paternal care and concern of a father, and so it is precisely to the Father whom mercy is primarily received. And this is perfectly in accord with the life of the Blessed Trinity. For it is it not the Father's Son who offers himself for our sake? And so, God our Father truly is a merciful Father, for he spared not even his only Son in order that we may be saved. Mary becomes a model and exemplar for true motherhood because she gives to us that sublime ideal of love, modesty, and obedience. And Jesus is the model for every child in the family life. And so, at some point in our life, he is always the model for us because he models for us and gives to us the example of loving obedience. And indeed, that is precisely what the gospel tells us. He who created both the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph went and was subject to them. And so we see very clearly the power of grace, because God the Father saw in Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary two souls completely in love with the Blessed Trinity, seeking to live that life of the Trinity in their own lives. And so they exemplified that and were incapable at that point of leading the Christ child astray. And so they become the model for each and every one of us because their life is incapable of leading us astray and hence incapable of leading the human family astray. And what was the hallmark of this life of the Holy Family? They lived a poor and a simple life that depended upon the manual labor of Joseph and Jesus in order to support it. It offers an inspiration for all families struggling to survive in this assault on the family. And indeed, according to many of the doctors and fathers, it was the Blessed Virgin who also supplemented that support of the family. Notice that the wife always works in support of the head. She does not take over control of the house. And so, Our Lady always offered support and always offered help, doing those tasks that are primarily assigned to a woman, the mending of clothes brought to her by the Egyptians. And so the Holy Family was earnestly involved while it went into flight into Egypt in both the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy, and so they truly become the model and exemplar for all missionary activity in the church. And so the Holy Family truly is, for each and every one of us, an example of a mature humanity. That is, a mature humanity. How do we define a mature humanity? We do not define it by the size of its gross national product. We do not define it by what it produces in the way of the entertainments of our modern world. What defines the maturity of a family is how much that family loves the God from whom they came. And that love can only be manifested in an authentic way unless the soul seeks always and everywhere to honor that family that God had in mind from the beginning of time, that family that constituted the creation. For it was not necessarily Adam and Eve that was the cause, if we want to say, of creation, but it was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, because God the Father saw in them a family that would give everything to them, every beat of their heart, every word, everything they did, all their actions, all their labors would be given in sacrifice. And so they truly were a mature human family because at every moment of their life, they loved God the Father. And they also give us that primary example of the obedience of faith and the communion of love. And it is, as Pope John Paul II said, the original domestic church. Indeed, it is the model and exemplar of all domestic church, and it is this Holy Family that becomes that which each family must strive. And so, the Holy Family is the answer to all those who would blasphemously assert that the Mother of God was the first unwed mother. And often, we hear such statements, and we do not even recognize the blasphemous nature of such horrendous thinking. And indeed, we do not realize that if we accept such tenets, then we are cooperating with the very destruction of the human family. For does not St. Matthew tell us, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife? And modern translators can insert as all they want. But in the Vulgate, the official Bible, that is, the one that is without error, there is no conjunction. There is simply, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. And if we do not even believe Scripture, then historical analysis of the Jewish culture tells us very clearly that to be betrothed was to be married. It was a twofold process. The marriage already taking place before the husband went to dwell with his wife, but a true marriage has already transpired. And if this is not the case, then truly, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and there is no hope for our salvation. But by the very fact that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is being perpetuated and offered in our time is proof both of the divinity of the Church in its origin and also the protection of Saint Joseph. For has not the Church been assailed from its very beginning? Go, grab that Peter and his disciples, flog them a little bit, bring them in, and when they're scared, we'll bring them around. And what does St. Peter answer? What St. Joseph would answer? Is it better for me to obey you or to obey, O God? And St. Peter would even challenge them at that point. Send those who scourged me by my side, because when I leave this prison, I will preach the same truth, the same love of the Holy Family, and so if you wait 5 minutes, you'll have opportunity to flog me again. Because Saint Joseph is not intimidated by the ways of the world because he loved Jesus and Mary too much. And that is why, especially in our modern era, popes have told us that in addition to the Holy Family being the original domestic church, it is as well the cradle and the prototype of the civilization of love. What is being said here by the pontiffs when they describe the Holy Family as the cradle and the civilization of love. That is a refutation to all those who think that ape named Lucy is the origin of the human family by a process of evolution. The cradle is where humanity is given birth, and so it truly is the Holy Family that is the model of all family life. And not only that, it teaches us how every human being comes into existence, not by an evolutionary process designed to rip the hope out of the heart of mankind, but by the love of God in which he calls us into existence out of nothing. And when we say nothing, we mean matter. Because he calls us out of something most profound, which was the first call of the Holy Family, his love. And then he uses the cooperation of a man and a woman to perpetuate that love until the end of time. That is why children have the right to one man and to one woman, united in a concord of love until death do they part. They have the right. And when that right is usurped, God is not happy. Not only is God not happy, God will not continue children to be assaulted in such a way. He will come and he will defend them. And so let us strive to be those who cooperate in their defense by the missionary activity of the world, whether it be strictly speaking in the mission lands or in the very mission of the own area in which God has assigned us. How? By imitating the Holy Family, by exercising the spiritual and the corporal works of mercy. And then we will come to know and to understand that everything that family did was a holy thing, cemented and held together by prayer. And so we will come to understand that labor has a distinction from temporal affairs, for labor is something that human beings do who love God. That is, they give every faculty of their mind and their body back to God, and they cement that offering by the life of prayer. Temporal affairs have to do with politics in such matters, but labor has become a blessing, for is it not the first blessing bestowed upon the fathers of the family? In toil and labor, you will bring forth fruit from the earth. In toil and labor, that is, by an act of love. And so often we misinterpret Scripture when we see that as a curse. For God now has added suffering to labor in order that it truly may become a labor of love. So it is truly a blessing because by it we can cooperate in that mission that was the essential mission of the Holy Family, to suffer and to labor and to pray always for the salvation of all families. And so the Church has brought this mystery into the very heart of the Christian mystery because without an understanding and a love of the Holy Family, we cannot understand the significance of the Christ child. We cannot understand why the shepherds would leave their flocks at that moment because they were called to do something even more special, to love the God from whom they would receive the grace to repent of their sins, so that all their labors now, all their works would become something more, because united to Christ, they would become sacrificial offerings for his sake. And the key is, if they are always done in obedience to Holy Mother Church, that is, to the Vicar of Christ, our Papa, or Abba, as Scripture refers to him, on earth, because he truly is the one on earth called to exemplify the virtues of Saint Joseph more than anyone. And so let us truly strive, especially in fostering devotion to the Holy Family, to foster devotion to that member who was its head. And let us always realize the significance of that. For there is a complete difference between Joseph and Jesus and Mary, because he was conceived in original sin. And so we truly see in him the power of God's grace, that if we cooperate by prayer and labor, we can become quite extraordinary, capable of defending the Holy Family, not because, strictly speaking, God needs any of us to defend him, but because he has asked us to, as he asked Joseph to, so we can prove our love. And so, let us defend them by defending the family life and not having anything to do with all that is contrary to it. But let us retire to that life of Nazareth. Let us take that as our model and example, so that silently, in labors of love, we can offer everything we do for our sake and the sake of humanity, so that humanity may truly come to know that only love that can save them from the perils of this world, that love that bound Jesus, Mary, and Joseph together, that love that on this earth most earnestly imitates that perfect love that binds the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together, the Blessed Trinity, the source and the origin of our lives. And if we are to return to that source and origin, we must do so by way of the Holy Family. And so that love begins first by abandoning everything and making, even if it's a brief visit, like the shepherds, making a visit to the creche, to the Christ child in the cave. But once we leave that cave, every labor we do in accord with obedience to the will of God is a labor of love, and hence united to the sacrifice of Christ, and hence cooperates in the redemption of the world. And so we have all the tools to bring about a destruction, whether it be of the economic evils, the social evils, the plagues, the natural disasters, whatever it is that assails the family can be solved by a visit to the Holy Family in the creche. Because when we leave there, after we have bent our knees in adoration of the Holy Family, we are transformed, and everything we do in cooperation with the mission of that family to bring Christ to the world. And so it is. Outside of the mystery of that family, there is no hope, there is no salvation. All paths are not a way to God. There is only one path, and every other path is a way away from God. It is only the path trodden first by the shepherds, then by the Magi, then by every soul who seeks to overcome their sin, the path that leads to Bethlehem and culminates in Calvary, but we mean in our earthly life. For the culmination is in the life of the body. For if we begin at Bethlehem and end at Calvary, then the culmination is union with that same Blessed Trinity together for all eternity in heaven.